Hi friends, welcome back to another episode of the Well Then podcast, a show where we talk about all things mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual health so that you can live your most vibrant and love-filled life. I'm your host, Megan Scherer, and in today's episode, I have a very special guest for you. Her name is Julia Mazur. Julia is yet another friend, a wonderful human being who I connected with thanks to the magic of TikTok. There's a lot of negative things that can be said about social media, but one of the most beautiful things about it, I think, is the power of connection and community and finding like-minded people. I first came across Julia's story when she had a video go massively viral sharing what her life as a 30-year-old single woman looked like. And she, in all honesty, got a lot of hate for this video, which is something that we talk about in this episode. But I love what Julia is up to. She is a former Tinder employee turned podcaster and advocate for essentially just women's empowerment and embracing single life. And she's got a podcast of her own called Pretty Much Done. I went on her podcast a couple months ago and I'm so excited to have her on mine. We dove into a great conversation about her life as a single woman and challenging societal narratives and what it was like to go viral and get so much, not just hate, but she got a lot of really positive reactions as well, but what it's like to get all of that attention on the internet. So super excited for you to hear from Julia today. Let's dive in.
All right. Hi, Julia. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to see you, Megan. I feel like we talked about how this was a long time coming, so I am really happy to be here.
Yes, me too. I'm excited to pick up where we left off in our last conversation in part one, and I know that we have so much in common, so I'm definitely know that the listeners of my podcast are excited to hear from you.
Good. I'm excited. Let's do it.
Yeah. So obviously we connected over some of the content that you share on TikTok and me kind of relating to you talking about being a 30 something single woman. And that is something that got you a lot of attention and press at some points as well. So I know we'll dive into talking about that. But first, can you just tell me a little bit about like where you are in the world, who you are, what you do?
Sure. Yeah. So I think I start a lot of my social media content as I am 30 and single. So I'm 30 and single. My name is Julia Mazur. Obviously, I host my podcast Pretty Much Done. And it really started for people. It started as a breakup podcast, funny enough. And the initial concept was to show people that you can move forward through a breakup. Breakups don't kill people. They're almost these opportunities to level up. But as I started and evolving my social media content, it's more about being pretty much done settling and listening to the societal noise. And every week I have experts on like yourself, authors, influencers, dating coaches to help people understand what it is that they want in dating so that that person, that happily ever after that we're looking for, whatever that might be, comes. I think that for so much of my life, I was trying to find that relationship and then felt like the happiness would follow. Now I've decided in the pursuit of my life, I am going to pursue what makes me happy, what makes me full. And I am hoping, I'm pretty hopeful that that person is going to come after that.
Yeah, I obviously love that mentality and approach so much. And I don't think it's something that most of us were taught growing up. We were sold the fairy tale narrative that like if you once you fall in love and find your person, like then life's going to be perfect and you're going to feel confident and you're going to feel good enough and everything's going to be great after that. And until then, you have to be on the hunt and you have to be in this constant pursuit because that's the thing that's going to bring you fulfillment. And it's such a missed opportunity for people in general, but especially women, to get to develop a relationship with themselves first. And like you said, get clear on what you want rather than just ending up with the first person who picked you, like getting clear, is that actually a person that I want to be with? And what are my standards in dating? And maybe I do want to lean into a chapter of just being on my own before I choose to be with somebody. So I just want to say right off the bat that I love that you're sharing that kind of content online. I love that you have that podcast because I know personally for me that if I had seen more stories like that and heard more conversations like this one happening when I was in my early 20s or even late teens, it would have been so empowering to know that there's a million different trajectories my life could take and none of them are bad or wrong just because they don't look like that white picket fence story that we were sold.
Totally. And I don't want to take away from the fact that that white picket fence might work for certain people. I think that what I try to emphasize is what is it that really works for you, and where did these like notions come from in your head that you need to be married with children by the time you're 30 in order to be happy. For me, I went down that path of figuring out where did this stem from? And a lot of it was cultural. A lot of it was, you know, I grew up Russian Jewish, and not my mom's fault, but she got married super young. My sister got married super young. They had kids super young. They were just kind of like, you should do this. Like, this is what will make you happy. And in the Russian Jewish culture, it's like, get married, have kids, either become a doctor or a lawyer. And so I kept finding myself trying to pursue those goals. And those are wonderful goals to try and achieve. They just didn't resonate with me. I found myself in these relationships feeling really unfulfilled, alone. And these are people with really great statistics on paper, like homeowners, lawyers, doctors, smart, 6 foot. I just felt like if this is going to be the rest of my life, I don't know what else is in it for me. Like, I felt stuck, and I just felt so compelled that I need to help people escape this narrative that we're basically going to die alone if we don't find our happily ever after by the time we're 30.
Yeah, and I love that acknowledgement too, that for some people, that white picket fence story or, marry your high school sweetheart story is perfect and it's great and it does work out. And that is beautiful because everyone's timeline is unique to them. And I think that's the missing piece that, like, some people maybe choose to be single for a longer period of time in their 20s and 30s to pursue career goals or growth in other areas of their life. But I think for a lot of women in particular, it kind of feels like it's not a choice. Like if I could have met somebody younger, I would have. It's just that I haven't met the right person for me. I'm ending up in these unfulfilling relationships. And so normalizing that middle ground that maybe I'm not actively choosing to be single for years and years, but the timing of my life is such that I just haven't met somebody that I would want to commit to and to settle down with. And like, can I learn to trust the timing of my life in that weird in between?
Trusting the timing is big, and it's something that I've really grown to adopt. And I feel like you, with your social media content, give such good advice around it. But it's really hard to trust in the timing when you go to events and people say, "Well, why aren't you finding anyone? You're so great. Why?" And then it makes you feel like you're not doing enough as a single person. And it is so hard. And so I hope that for anyone who listens to my podcast or like watches my social media content, I don't know about you, Megan, but like I know so many wonderful, eligible women. I just have to trust in the fact that the universe has a plan, and like the reason why it hasn't worked out is because someone wonderful is around the corner, and something that I've now adopted, and we can talk about it. Like I think that I really want to be at a certain point in my life where I meet someone who matches where I'm at, my vibrational energy, right? So, like, some people don't believe that. Some people don't believe that you don't have to be at the best version of yourself. I, right now, I'm in a really transitional period with my career. I left my corporate job. I'm trying to take social media full time seriously and my podcast. I don't really want to meet someone in this like weird transitional period of my life. I feel like a little bit of a mess, if I'm honest. So, I've used to, when I was in those messy parts of my life, try to find a partner to fill that hole, fill that gap. And now I have learned how to sit in that aloneness. You don't have to be alone every day, but like sit in that discomfort of, okay, I don't have a partner, but it's because I'm working towards a goal here.
Yeah, and that is, I think, the hardest choice to make. Most people don't make it. They'd rather settle in a relationship that's not super fulfilling or isn't quite right for them because being alone can bring up a lot of our shit and it's uncomfortable and we have to face feelings that maybe aren't the most fun to face. But I think not only is it such a brave decision, it's also, in the end, a really empowering one because you discover such a deeper relationship with yourself in those moments of solitude and in those moments of stretching yourself to see, like, who do I want to be? What choices do I want to make for my life? Not just like, let me fit myself into somebody else's so that I don't have to feel like such a mess right now. So I'm acknowledging you for that because I know it's a hard thing to do.
Thank you.
And what something that kind of comes out of it, I've seen you share some videos on this recently, so I wanted to speak to it. Sometimes when we make that choice that like, oh, maybe this season of my life isn't actually about relationship. Like maybe this is the season where it is about inner growth and asking myself big questions and exploring what I want to do in my career. When we lean into that, sometimes we discover that we actually like being on our own more than we knew that we could, and that singlehood can actually be really fun and exciting and empowering. And I don't think most people let themselves get to that place because they don't make the choice to be intentionally single first. So I would love to just hear what that has been like for you.
Sure. Yeah. And to that point, I think that a lot of it has to do with shame. I think that for so long, I felt if I publicly embraced enjoying my singlehood at 30, it would seem like I'm irresponsible and I am taking no initiative into bettering my life. I tried finding a husband on the apps for like a decade. You know, I tried it and I found myself in these really lonely relationships. So now I'm just letting like the universe take the wheel and I'm doing everything to better myself. So to your point, last year I went on like a really intentional journey of learning how to be really comfortable being alone. I realized it wasn't something that I was comfortable doing. But once I started doing it, I learned that I'm actually like one of my favorite people. And I went on this one night overnight stay, which was big for me. I lived in LA at the time. I went to a trip in Laguna Beach. I took myself to the beach. I listened to all the music I wanted to listen to in the car. Like I didn't have a, boyfriend who we had to say like, oh, do you want to listen to this or that? I was like, no, I'm going to listen to Mariah Carey. I'm going to listen to NSYNC. Like this is going to be the best playlist ever. Had the best time. I went to the beach and then I made myself go to like two bars by myself and I dressed up and it was so funny. Like I'm sure everyone around was thinking like, what is this girl doing by herself at the bar? And everyone wanted to talk to me. I was, it like couples were talking to me, asking me what I was doing, and people wanted to set me up with like their friends. It's such a rewarding experience when you put yourself in these situations that might make you uncomfortable. Just knowing that you did it, the growth on the other side of that feels so good and so rewarding. And you truly never know what can come of it. I've gone on dates from it. I've met friends from it. I really think that like if you are someone who feels discomfort in being alone, going to a bar by yourself is really rewarding. That being said, I am in this like transitional period of my life and kind of embracing my singlehood and, I didn't realize that I was like this champion of being 30 and single on the internet, but it kind of fell into my laps. And I le recently moved from LA. I live in Austin. I did like a home swap like in the holiday. And I'm really in my season of trying to hustle and make this a career. I've given myself sort of a timeline, left corporate America and have been meeting so many wonderful people. And I don't think that I can't meet a man in this season of my life, but I do think that I am very much in my season of my life of meeting wonderful people and figuring out who it is that I want to be and want to become.
Yeah, and that's honestly such a beautiful place to be. There's so much less pressure on yourself when you do, like you said, kind of just hand it over to the universe and say, like, all right, my plans weren't working, so let me just lean into what is showing up for me and see how I can make that really fun and get more out of it. And I'm so on board with the idea of solo dates. I always encourage people who are really nervous to like go through it in tiers. Like first, a coffee shop solo date, somewhere that you feel like you could bring a book and just chill and lots of people are alone. And then maybe go sit at a bar and then maybe a restaurant and then like a road trip or solo overnight trip. And it does feel so good to get to know who you are, the music you like, the things you like without the influence of other people. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. There's things that I don't know if you experienced this, but I know for me, especially in my early 20s, all of my dating experiences and relationships were just me sort of morphing myself and fitting myself into the guys I was dating, into their lives and their interests and the music they like and the food that they like to eat and everything they like to do. I just became like a clone of them. And it was a really harsh reality to later in my 20s realize, like, oh, who am I? What's my personality separate from the guys that I've been dating? And it's very humbling and sometimes even a little bit shameful, but can be very empowering to go on the journey of figuring that out. Is that something that you feel like you experienced?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I talk about this a lot. In my 20s, my dad and I would watch basketball together. Like it was something that we did together. I adopted it as a personality trait all the time, obviously, because I thought men would love that I watched basketball. I became the biggest fan ever. I would go to sports bars. I would like make basketball memes. I even dated a guy who was like a personal trainer for basketball players and like would hang out with basketball players. It was like so, I don't watch basketball today. It does like it's clear that it wasn't bringing me joy. It was a mask that I put on to try and impress men, and it didn't serve me. And I will say that the more you become who you are and comfortable with who you are, you probably will find that you're going to meet less matches. Like you're maybe going to find less people swipe right on you on dating apps. You're going to have less dates. Like maybe after a second date, someone's going to say like, "Hey, I just didn't think it was a fit." And that might be hard and that might be a sting, but I almost find the reframe is like, "Oh my God, like the universe is bringing me closer to the guy. Like I'm getting closer to him instead of like further away."
Yeah, I love that reframe, and it is so true. I always talk about that as like the quiet in between, where you all of a sudden feel like, wait a minute, now that I have higher standards, like what if no one's out there for me that matches these standards? But it really is, you're just like refining and getting closer. I love that you shared that about the basketball thing too. I look back and kind of cringe at like all the guys I was dating. I would always just adopt whatever sport team they were a fan of. I would like, without telling them, I would like go buy a bunch of the apparel and then like casually show up like wearing it on a date or like to the gym, and they'd see me in it and they'd be like, "Oh, you're a fan of the Clippers too?" And I'd be like, "Oh yeah, I love the Clippers, like big fan." So embarrassing to look back on, but
That's
you
so
know,
funny.
the things you do.
There's like a box at Goodwill of like Megan's like Clippers, Lakers, like New
100%
York Knicks.
Patriots, yeah. All of them. It's yeah. But you know, I look back on that version of me with a lot of love because she was just trying to be loved, and I think that a lot of us people listening can probably relate to things like that, the things we do to get somebody to choose us, because at our core as human beings, like we just want love and connection, and sometimes we just get it a little twisted.
Yeah, and I don't know how you fall into like under this topic, but I think that for me, I don't ever want to be like preachy towards people who follow me or listen to my podcast. Like I think that you have to go through those experiences. I would never say don't do this for a guy. Do it so that you know what it feels like and you don't do it again. And then I hope what I am and like what you are just people who make it feel okay to do those things because, like, we are alive and okay, and our lives are full. I want to be that for you. Like, I don't want to be your coach to say, never do this. You kind of have
Totally.
to. It's like a rite of passage.
Yeah, you really have to get the lesson for yourself on an embodied level. And we, you know, you see this with your friends too. You can see how bad somebody is for them, but they have to go through choosing them and going back to them over and over again until they're finally ready to learn that lesson. So
Totally.
it's definitely true. You
Totally.
mentioned something earlier too about not necessarily seeking out to be this person on the internet who's like an advocate or cheerleader for being 30 and single, but that it kind of fell into your lap and, you know, such is the way of TikTok and viral videos. Can you talk
Totally.
a little bit about your experience with going viral and how that was for you?
Sure. Yeah. So I started creating content on TikTok, and a lot of my content started with I am like 29 and single, I'm 30 and single. And I think I start a lot of my videos with it because it's something that I was really afraid to be. It was like one of my deep-rooted fears. And so to take my power back, I was like, here's what it looks like, and here's what it is. And so I made this video about how at the time I was 29, I said, I'm 29 and single. And you know, this morning I woke up at 10 a.m. I was hungover from the Beyonce concert. I danced my heart out at that concert. I woke up and I truly did wake up and thought, like, what am I going to do with my Saturday? And shakshuka had been on my mind. And I thought, I've never made it. I'm going to learn how to make shakshuka. And I'm going to watch Real Housewives of New York. I restarted like old seasons. And I gave myself a perspective shift. I was like, Julia, like, you're so hard on yourself that you don't have a boyfriend and you don't have kids. But like, what a wonderful day you get to lead. That is so wonderful. I know for my sister, on the other hand, she's a very fulfilled life, but like she woke up at 8 and was like at soccer practice with her kids, and then she was going to gymnastics and a birthday party. Like, that's hard. That's tough. She's tired. My day was probably a lot easier than hers. And like, I get those things. That's wonderful. And so I posted it, and initially, like a lot of people were resonating with it. They're like, yes, like this is my life too. Thank you. And then this right-wing political commentator who I had no familiarity with, Matt Walsh, he's writes for the Daily Wire. He at the time I had like 7,000 followers on TikTok. I was not any big creator. He had 2.1 or 2.4 million followers on Twitter, and he tweets it to his followers. He's like, this girl is too stupid to realize how meaningless her life is. Her life doesn't revolve around kids and family. Instead, it revolves around pop stars and celebrities. And like, she's too stupid to realize how meaningless her life is. And he tweets all of his followers, and they all showed up to my TikTok. It was one of the scariest things I've ever seen. I was getting bullied on all angles of my social media. Like, people were finding me on Instagram saying horrible things like I should be sexually assaulted. Just I'm stupid, I'm disgusting, I'm ugly, I'm a man, I'm not a female because of the size of my skull. I should never leave my house. Just horrible things. I'd never experienced anything like it. I described to everyone, it felt like people just barraged into my apartment and started beating me up. So I deleted the TikTok app from my phone, and I just like went to the beach. I say that this happened to me at this time for a reason, because I've done the work to understand how to recalibrate my nervous system. And like, the universe basically knew I was ready for it at this time. So I did all those things, and I had people in my life checking in on me, like random people, people I had worked with years ago, people I went to camp with, a girl from college. And they were just like, are you okay? You're on the homepage of Twitter. Don't read the comments. Are you okay? And I was so lucky that someone that I went to college with, she has a little bit of a platform on Twitter. She ended up coming out in defense of my platform and what I stand for and who my content is for. And she kind of, gave an explanation to Twitter, like what my platform is. And once she did that, like the good side of Twitter and social media came out. People like Mark Cuban, like Yashar Ali, like all these people came out and were just coming out in defense of me. And it became this moment where I realized my entire life I thought I felt this way because I'm Russian and Jewish and I grew up in a traditional culture. And I realized, like, this is a societal thing. I need to help women realize that we don't die at 30. We are, our eggs aren't sand, which people say to me all the time. I don't even like cats. They say that they're investing in cat food because of me. And crazy. And so I felt super empowered about my message being so important, because I see so many women getting shamed for this all the time. And there is no shame in choosing not to be partnered. Some people, it's not a choice. Not having children, there are different paths for everyone, and shaming someone for their path is not the way to go.
Yeah, it's, I mean, never okay. And the fact that, you had a good support system and resources to carry you through that experience is wonderful, but it's something that never should have happened. Like, the content that you share is from that perspective of like, how can I empower somebody else who might be struggling? And for somebody to take that and twist it into something so hurtful is disgusting, quite frankly. And I'm so glad that you had the power of the positive side of the internet and back you up, and that you decided to keep showing up and keep sharing, because I know that your videos and your podcasts definitely make a difference for the women who hear them.
Thank you. That's so nice. And yeah, it's crazy. Like, he got 40 million impressions. He got paid for that. Like, he made money bringing a woman down. And some people did bring up a kind of an important fact of he has four kids and a wife. And instead of spending time with his family, which he was obviously encouraging people to be pro-family, he was taking down a 29-year-old woman on the internet.
Yeah, just
It was
such
a
a
bit ironic.
waste. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's so hurtful on so many levels, because obviously you were making this video to kind of celebrate the fact that you were finding joy in a season of your life that you didn't think you'd end up in, that like you were having a hard time to some degree navigating and trying to find acceptance in. And that's hard work. And so it's hurtful for the people in that space who are like, maybe I want a family, maybe I want a partner and I want kids and I haven't been able to for whatever reason. And then there's the people who are choosing to be single by choice and child-free by choice. And it's hurtful for them too. It's like, why can't we all just make the decisions that we want to make and, you know, have encouragement and empowerment for people who are going through a difficult time? And I just, the fact that you mentioned like he got paid off of that and got so much attention on him and celebrated for sharing that message is upsetting. But I think the more important focus is all the people who did end up getting to find and resonate with this message of like, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not alone in having this experience.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm so happy.
And I can totally resonate with what you shared too in the beginning of like being 29 or 30 and single being your biggest fear. I definitely experienced that like kind of edgy fear around sharing content where I began to not just like teach from the perspective of a therapist, but my own lived experience and own like, yes, I'm 30 and single, or I'm 33 and single, and to deal with some of the hateful comments that can appear. And I've gotten some, but definitely nothing to the degree of like a multi-million viral moment. And it's hard to own your truth in a world that you know you'll get backlash for it. Like somebody's gonna be unhappy because somebody always will be, but then to show up anyways, it's just a really brave thing. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, they haven't written to you because they haven't found you yet. That's
That's like, I know, that's the thing is like when I do have videos that get a little bigger, and I generally feel lucky because it's mostly love, but the ones where I do get hate on them, it makes me think about videos that go more mega viral, and you're gonna get a split. You'll get people who are loving and celebrating you, and then you will get people who are so unhappy with you for whatever reason because they're unhappy with themselves.
Yeah, totally. It's projection.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you feel like your biggest takeaway from that experience was?
I mean, the takeaway for me was that this wasn't cultural and this was societal. I think I felt more empowered than ever that I needed to be doing this. It almost like it allowed me the opportunity to finally like take seriously that. As someone who realized, like, okay, she didn't feel fulfilled in these relationships that were good on paper, I had this cushy corporate job and I never felt as fulfilled as I did connecting with women and empowering them to live their truth. And so it gave me a moment to realize, like, am I living my truth in my career? As scary as the jump has been, not having a paycheck is the scariest thing I've ever done, like beyond scariest. And I think that it really like forced me to take stock of my life and figure out where is it that I'm not living my truth. And at the time I was living in LA. Today I live in Austin. And at the time I had a corporate job and now I am working for myself. So I think that that was probably like a big takeaway for me.
Yeah, I feel like that usually is the case with those big life moments, whether they're positive shakeups or more challenging ones. They do cause you to ask the deeper questions, the bigger questions of like, okay, let me reevaluate. Who am I? Who do I want to be? What do I want? And am I making choices that are in alignment with that, or do I need to pivot? And then actually following through when you need to pivot and shaking up your life, it's hard. Like moving to a new state by yourself and starting a new career path, it is hard, but also very exciting. And I'm excited to see what unravels for you from here.
Thank you. I'm excited too. I think no one's more excited than my parents for me to say that it worked. They're just calling me all the time and they're like, my dad laughed at me the other day because I showed him that I got these like free beauty products, which is cool for me. You know, these moments are exciting. And he was like, yeah, I totally would take some eye cream over a six-figure salary too.
He's like, I just want the stability for you.
Totally, totally. Yeah.
Speaking of parents, I feel like that's one of the groups of people that single people typically get some backlash from is, parents who want to see their kids happy, want to have grandchildren, whatever their own desires and projections are for their kids. Is that something that you have to deal with, or are your parents pretty accepting of your
I
path?
mean, given like my line of work of I grew up Russian Jewish and felt this immense pressure to be coupled up and have kids, like this is my message on social media. They've gotten it. Like they're like, okay, we understand if you're making this kind of your career path. But that being said, for sure, like all of my 20s, I definitely grappled with the family pressure, not just even like my nuclear family, like grandparents, family friends. And I have been thinking a lot and have talked about a lot in therapy, the concept of like generational trauma. And I think so much of it has to do with that for me, where my parents were immigrants from Soviet Russia, had nothing, came here with nothing, were also Jewish, survived like the Holocaust. Like they're just operating out of fear of getting back there. And so they want the best for me. And today at 30, I understand that it's coming from the most wonderful place. I think it took me a long time to be able to vocalize that I need to pursue what I want in a place of non-resentment, like a place of true like understanding. And I think that the way I was communicating it wasn't effective in like this resentful tone. They just want the best for me. They like fled Soviet Russia to do that, you know? But for sure, like there is this battle of in your 20s, probably like realizing like your parents think that they know best, you feeling like you know best, and that delicate dance that we do. They're very supportive today. I don't blame them for wanting certain things given like the circumstances of how they grew up.
Yeah, it's great that you've been able to see that perspective that, a lot of the pressure that they might put on you comes from just their desires for you. And I can completely understand that, like the cultural differences, even as the child of an immigrant mother, like I feel those desires of the things that she wants to be different for me than they were for her. And, I'm sure that's the case with your parents too. And so for them to be receptive anyways to the fact that like these are the choices you're making and to accept and love you, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it doesn't change the fact that my mom, like, if she meets any Jewish man, regardless of his geographic location, regardless of his age, height,
100%.
anything, she gives him my number. Like, that is
She's
still
like, I found you a
happening.
man. Yeah.
Yeah,
Have those
yeah.
blind dates ever gone anywhere?
Literally never. She's so bad at it. But I have definitely I recently had someone on my podcast and we talked about kind of putting yourself out there with your friends of saying, I want to be set up. I think for some reason my mom gets it wrong a lot. I don't think she knows my type, but I have definitely had family friends set me up with some great people and I am open for a fix up, a setup.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's especially when you get clear on what you want. So you can tell them, like, hey, I'm open and here's what I'm looking for. Here's a couple bullet points of the kind of person I'd love to be with. Like, then you've got people in your corner who are rallying for you. Like, yes, absolutely. I'll be on the lookout. It feels good.
Totally. Yeah. And advocating for yourself is important.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one thing I wanted to circle back to because we didn't get a chance to talk about this, but you mentioned when you first started your podcast that it was actually coming from the place of kind of healing from a breakup and being done more so with a relationship and then leading that into the realm of being done settling, which I love. Was that kind of personal inspiration? Were you going through a breakup at the time?
Yeah. It's such an interesting origin story. So, this was when I don't know if you believe in Saturn returns, but it was the beginning of mine.
1000%. Having lived through a brutal one, yes. Beforehand, I was like, no, I don't think it's true for everybody. 1000% is.
If you like talk to me in any social situation, I somehow bring up Saturn Returns. And the fact that Kacey Musgraves and Ariana Grande both have Saturn Returns songs on their new albums, it's making a comeback. Everybody needs to
It's in
know
the
about it.
mainstream, yeah.
Totally, totally. So this was the beginning of mine, and it was during COVID. So quite a moment to have a Saturn return. You're like locked
Tough,
global
yeah.
pandemic. Yeah. I got into a relationship with someone who was very good on paper, and the circumstances in COVID were that you didn't really see how people behaved in real life. Like, I am a very extroverted person. I love making plans. I love being out and about. This person saw me as like a homebody who would just like do puzzles and watch TV. And so we had a lot of friction about our differences. And I think he was very obsessed with the idea of me and not who I actually was. And he would very much not allow me to go. Like, I tried to break up multiple times. He got my family involved and like would hypnotize my parents into saying things like, I just want a wonderful, like, give your daughter a wonderful life. Like, all I want to do is that. And then they would convince me to stay. It was so toxic. It was extremely toxic. And I was very lonely, obviously, in this relationship, given that I was having no, fun in it and like not getting my needs met at all. And so I would go on a lot of walks and I started listening to podcasts. And I remember I was listening to Life with Marianna Hewitt. She's the founder of Summer Fridays, and she has a lot of female founders on. And she had Jen Atkin on, who started The Way, the hair care line. And Jen Atkin said, I tell all of my friends that a breakup is just one weekend of moving your stuff out, and it's just one weekend. And at the time, we lived together. And I'm on this walk, and I remember like having this like zing in my head of thinking, oh my God, okay, like I feel like I could, okay, I feel like I could have the courage to do that. And I didn't do it like right after, but like shortly thereafter, I feel like it gave me the confidence I needed to finally feel like I could do it. And it was just one weekend of moving my stuff out. And I later was thinking about it, and I thought, if I can be that moment of clarity for someone else who is thinking of settling, if I can like speak into their ears that they should not settle, they should not be confused, they should not be feeling anxiety in a relationship, I want to be that moment of clarity for someone. And so I really the podcast came out of that. And I did want it to be a breakup podcast at first, but I realized there it's more to it. It's more about like resilience and resisting settling and figuring out who you are and what you want.
I first of all love that perspective that Jen shared because I think, yeah, we often do kind of overwhelm ourselves with the idea of ending a relationship and everything that it means. Like we think about the future we had envisioned with this person and that we're letting go of that and all the different layers of complexity that come with the breakup. But the actual act of doing it is just like that one weekend, making the decision of getting your stuff out, having the conversations that need to be had, and then the focus is on you after that. The focus is on your healing and your clarity and what you want moving forward and your standards. So thank you for sharing that perspective because I love it.
Yeah.
And so beautiful that in that moment of I don't know if it was grief and loss for you because it doesn't sound like it was a super happy relationship, but still loss and navigating that, that you decided like, how can I use my story to inspire somebody? And that's when I think breakups and heartbreak in general have the potential to be like the most transformative experiences of our life if we use them to like really expand our hearts and keep our hearts open rather than closing and contracting into the pain as most people do. So thank you for sharing that part of your story and I love that that was the inspiration for this whole journey for you.
Yeah, of course. And to the point of it being one weekend of moving your stuff out, it was so funny. I'm not funny, I guess, but it is funny now in retrospect. But he wouldn't let me move my stuff. My mom had to do it. And I almost thought, okay, is my new purpose figuring out a breakup moving business? I was like drafting up a business plan of like move breakup movers who like communicate with your ex. And I remember so distinctly once I got back to my apartment, which I never got rid of. It was like I knew. And I got back and he didn't like that I watched reality TV. I spent like the whole weekend watching just like trash television and Sex in the City, and I felt so free. And I think that so many of us ignore the signs in our bodies of like how you're feeling. And our body, I mean, you know, you're a holistic teacher, like our body holds so much. And it's if your body is feeling tense around your partner, it's a sign that something is awry.
Yeah, that's probably not the right person for you to be around. And there certainly are cases where maybe I don't feel safe around anyone because my body's still holding on to lots of trauma from my past. But yeah, usually your body's going to be the best indicator as to like, is this person safe for me? Are they aligned for me? Am I going to get my needs met here? And we
Yeah.
just ignore that because we're not always in our bodies and clued into those sensations.
Totally. Yeah.
Also, that 100% should be a service because just a couple of days ago, I was going through this with one of my best friends who lives in another state and is going through a breakup and needed to get her things out of her guy's place. And I was like, who's going with you? Because I know if you go alone, it's going to become this whole thing and he's not going to let you leave. And so we were strategizing like, okay, who could I bring that he would actually like take seriously as like a boundary setting person? And I think everybody needs that kind of like rock. And that person who's there in solidarity when you go to get your stuff out.
Yeah, I'm still, I mean, it was such a good name. It was called Move On, and it was good. It was really
I
good.
love that.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, the logistics started to get tricky and the
Yeah.
podcast felt a little more aligned, but if someone is listening and they want to take it and run, enjoy, just give me a brand deal.
Especially in a city like LA or New York or Austin, like major cities where breakups are happening all the time.
Totally. Yeah.
And maybe
Yeah.
not with the healthiest people. You
Yeah.
need a service like that.
Do you think that it's breakup season right now?
That's a good question. I think that I'm maybe not the right person to answer that question because it's always, no, I don't want to say it's always breakup season, but people often find me and my work when they're going through a breakup.
Sure.
I will say that when we do go into this time of year, there absolutely is something to the idea of like cuffing season versus spring and summer and people feeling like happier and more social and connected and empowered on their own. Is that something you're noticing a lot right now?
Yeah, I like made this video about how it just like feels like this summer is going to be the first summer in a long time where like we are communicating again, not using the apps. We're going to be out and about. It's going to be like this. I said it's like feral summer, and I think it's going to be like that because it's like we're four years out of the pandemic, and it went viral because I feel like everyone is feeling the same way, and I think that people are a lot more comfortable being single right now.
Yeah, I am all for people connecting in real life and getting off the apps. I'm honestly such an advocate for not being anti-dating app in general, because I do know some people who have met like their spouses and started wonderful families and marriages from someone they met on an app, and it can be a great tool. But I think
Yeah.
on the whole, they're being used in really unhealthy ways right now, and not the best caliber of people are on there. And more often than not, people are using the apps when they're lonely. So they're just swiping out of loneliness rather than like true desire for aligned connection. So yes,
Totally.
let's all get out there in person and just like have the time of our lives this summer. I love
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. I want to make it a thing. I think that that's my new mission.
Yeah, just like empowered single summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you do like events or meetups, or like how do you most often meet new people?
I'm really lucky. So, like, obviously, probably with having a social media platform, people write to me. And if they seem cool, I go on walks with them. If I meet one person and they invite me to another thing to meet more people, I'll go. Like, I met this. Someone I had on my podcast was in town on Saturday, and I met up with him, and he had a friend who lived here. He's hosting a meetup Monday. I am all for saying yes to things that even you don't want to do. I know it's exhausting sometimes, but if it like feels overwhelming, don't do it. But if you're complaining that you're not meeting people and people are inviting you places, I'm a huge proponent of saying yes. That being said, I also encourage people to do like adult hobbies. So I wanted to take tennis back up and I started going to group classes. I know pickleball is all the rage right now. So encourage people to do that. I don't know. I'm also I'm meeting with this guy and we're trying to come up with like a dating concept that doesn't feel like dating. And I think like we have something fun going on. So I think we're at a very big inflection point with dating. And I'm excited about it. I think we're going to get back to tradition and fun. And like, I
Yeah.
almost think I just recorded a video that I'm going to post. Like, I almost think we're going to go back to camp. Like, millennials are just like going to start acting like when we got to camp and we had crushes and we went to dances and we did activities. Like, that is what I hope for all of us.
I love that. That feels just like joyful and nostalgic and fun and how life should be.
Yes. Yeah. Not sitting on your couch swiping like out of like desperation or lack.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's like this like gambling addict gamified version of like I need to meet somebody or I'm gonna die. And it's just not, it's not cute. It's not the
Yeah.
move.
Yeah. I need to meet someone or Matt Walsh is going to find me.
We're just going to pretend he doesn't exist. I didn't, similar to you, I did not know who he was when we first started talking and you mentioned that like the Matt Walsh controversy. I was like, "Oh, is that an ex-boyfriend of hers? I need to like look into this." So, and then I found out who he was and was like, "Oh yeah, he doesn't deserve any airtime."
No, but it's crazy. Like Candace Owens came after me too. I'm like, aren't women supposed to be empowering women? Whatever.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I mean, you would think so. You would hope so. And there is a lot of that for sure. But just a
Yeah.
very divisive time right now in our country, especially. And I think people also know that sensationalism sells. And so people are more willing to be divisive and have really intense and ostracizing opinions just for the 40 million views that they'll get.
Totally. I know. I honestly joked to my friends later. I was like, I need to take marketing courses from this guy because he's moved on to the next thing and his followers are still in my comments and my DMs, like fighting the good fight for him.
Yeah, crazy. Like he could probably care less, like doesn't know your name and just saw that as an opportunity to be like, oh, I know how to rile people up.
Truly, truly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
well, what would you say to women who are maybe still influenced and intimidated by opinions like that one that they cannot embrace their life as a single woman at any age, but especially approaching 30 and into your 30s.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that I'm like an example that I didn't think my life would be this way, and I'm really happy with how it's gone. I've found so much fulfillment, more fulfillment than I've ever found in relationships that I've been in. And I think that I would also say, like, if you're afraid you're not going to meet someone and you just want to pair up with someone out of like fear that you won't meet someone, believe that it can happen and look at your friends who there are so many examples. Like I posted this video. Look at Amal Clooney. She was 38 when she met George Clooney. And like everyone's like, oh, she's a celebrity and she had a lot of money. But they're humans too. Like Lauren Sanchez is 50 and she got engaged to Jeff Bezos. These things happen every day. Kourtney Kardashian just had a baby at 42. The universe is on your timeline. The universe just needs you to stop stressing and worrying about it. And the minute that you stop stressing, worrying about it, enjoying your life, you're going to feel fulfilled. Because if you think about it, like, sure, you could make the choice and decision to be with someone who's just good on paper and, you know, all of that. But if we're looking at our lifespans being like 80 years, you're going to spend 60 years of your life with just fine. I'd rather be listening to NSYNC and Mariah Carey on my drive to Laguna Beach than being in a just fine relationship.
100%. I could not agree more. And that, like, realizing there is so much joy to be found in this moment here in the waiting. Even if you have to wait 10 years longer than you want to, what if those 10 years could be better than they ever would have been with that wrong, just fine person?
Yeah, just trust that it will happen. Like I always tell people this. I'm like, if I told you in 1 year, man of your dreams is coming. He's coming. He's 1 year from now. Like, how would you behave in that year? You would have the best time ever. You'd be like, I can't wait. I'm literally gonna marry man of my dreams for me, let's say. Like, that's Miles Teller. He's married, but like, I'm like, I am marrying Miles Teller in a year. Oh my God, I'm gonna go to Europe this summer. I'm gonna just like have so much fun with my girlfriends. I'm gonna be looking at like all the cute outfits I can wear because I have him in a year, you know?
Yeah, and just living your life that way, that like all the things you want, the love, the opportunities, the joy, the connection, it's all coming, and it really does start with you and your relationship with yourself.
Yeah. And then not to belabor like singledom, but there are so many wonderful things you can do as a single person that you can't do in a relationship. Like the things that I can do and get away with and pull off at the last minute because it's just me are really fun and cool. And you won't get that back.
Yeah, that is huge. I get that a lot too. My friends will be like, "Where are you this week? Like, where are you in the world?" And there was a point where I realized I'm never going to get these years of my life back. I'm never going to get the opportunity to be this free again. So why the hell would I not take full advantage of it?
Yeah,
Not
yes.
that you can't still have, a degree of freedom in relationships, but yeah,
It's
it's just something
not the
different.
same.
It's
It's
not the
not the
same.
same. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that because I know that that advice definitely is going to resonate for so many women hearing it. And
Yes.
I wish that we were living in the same city so that we could like go on walks and play tennis together and do all the fun single things.
I know. I know.
At
If you're
those
ever in
meetups.
Austin, yeah, if you're ever in Austin, let me know.
I have been meaning to come. I have so many friends who've moved there in the like mass exodus from LA the last few years. So it's definitely a place on my list and I'll try and make it happen.
I would love that.
The last question that I love to ask people who come on this show is just to share one of your foundational favorite self-care practices, one of the things that you do that makes you feel most connected to yourself, like physically, mentally, emotionally, could just be something you're loving right now, whatever comes
Yeah,
to mind.
I love walking outside. I find that putting on a podcast and walking outside, or even like my favorite playlist, and just being around people, I'm extroverted. So, and I love like the sun shine on my face. So for me, like I know if I'm in a mood, that snaps me out.
Yeah, that's such a game changer. Like a little bit of sunshine, your favorite music, and just moving, physically moving your body forward can do wonders.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Julia. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for everything you share online and the resilience you had going through something challenging so publicly. And I'm so glad that we connected.
Thank you, Megan. I'm so glad as well. I love following your content too. You always give great advice. I feel like I'm like spewing just like my silly little things, and you're like, here's tangible advice. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go to Megan for like tangible advice.
We need both, though. I feel like we need a combination of like, here's like the therapeutic tools you use, and here's just like the real life, like big sister advice.
Totally. Yes. Yeah.
And so I know you mentioned the name of your podcast, Pretty Much Done, but where can people find you? I'll make sure to link all this in the show notes.
Yeah, so podcast is everywhere where podcasts can be found. And then I am PMD Pod, POD, on TikTok and Instagram. And you can see me just talking about my dating life and my dating mantras there.
Amazing. Well, I'll link all that in the show notes so everyone who's listening can definitely follow you and keep in touch with what you're up to. And I'm sure we will continue the conversation, hopefully on more podcast episodes in the future.
Yes, I'd love that.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Julia. And thank you so much, friend, for tuning in to today's episode. Whether you are new to the Well Then podcast or you've been listening for years, I appreciate your support of this show. It would mean the world to me if you could leave a rating and review so that this show can continue to grow and I can share free content, conversations like this one, somatic healing tools and resources, and things that would have supported me, I know, on my journey, and I know support so many of the women out there, and you showing your support by leaving a rating and review and passing episodes along to friends who you know would benefit from hearing them helps these messages get out there even further. So, thank you so much for supporting my work. If it resonated with you, I love to hear from you guys. So, you can send me a DM on Instagram at Megan Scherer. You can send me an email, which is contact@meganscherer.com. It's all linked in the show notes below. If you're interested in learning more about Julia and following what she's up to, you can check her information out in the show notes. And if you're interested in learning more about me and working with me, coming on one of my retreats, joining one of my programs, checking out some of the awesome free and affordable resources that I have, I will link all of that below. Thanks again for tuning in, and until next time, have a vibrant and love-filled day.